Here's part two of the March 12th, 2007 Jimmy Dome podcast.
Okay, we're back.
Hey.
We're back. Part two now. It's been a couple days since part one.
It's still March 12th.
It's still March 12th, but as far as you guys are concerned, listener, hello.
No, they're listening back to back.
Yeah, it's back to back. That's right. Court rejects strict gun law as unconstitutional. Did you read this counselor?
Oh, yeah.
I love this one. Interpreting the Second Amendment broadly, a federal appeals...
Yeah, I love it when they said interpreting the Second Amendment broadly. Like, it should be the only way it should ever be interpreted.
It seems to me...
Right to bear arms. End of line. Anything you want. Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out...
There you go.
A federal appeals court in Washington, this is Washington, D.C., yesterday, I think that's in Washington, D.C., yesterday struck down a gun control law in the District of Columbia that bars residents from keeping handguns in their homes. I was not aware.
Again, we're talking about Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the polls.
Let me just go through. The vote was 2-1 because in an appeals court, they typically three judges, and the Second Amendment protects the rights of individuals as opposed to the collective rights of state militias. That's what the majority said. The lady who wrote the dissenting opinion said, well, it says in there no state. And she says District of Columbia is not a state, so this doesn't apply. That was a part of her argument at any rate.
And again, how to get around the rules.
Well, that's right. Anyway, this is headed to the Supreme Court, and they have said in here that since the last time this was, the Supreme Court last considered the issue in 1939, and now there are only scattered hints as to how they might rule on this, and they really have been trying to do the tea leaf business on the justices, and they can't come up with any idea on how this might play out. But I didn't realize this, that prohibited the law in the district actually prohibited carrying handguns without a license, even from one room of a home to another. And that
it's interstate commerce.
and it required lawfully owned firearms be kept unloaded and disassembled or bound by a trigger lock. What I thought was interesting about this was you have to get a license, but it turns out that they don't give you a license. In other words, when you go apply for a license, they say no. And the answer is...
So they got them. You just can't have them.
That's right. And they the majority rejected the district. The district argued that the Second Amendment should apply only to the kinds of guns at the use of the end of the 18th century. Seriously, 1791 gun. If you had one, I'm not sure you'd be out there blasting away.
There's a run on powder horns at Walmart.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So at any rate, the deal is Mrs. Singer... said it was small comfort that the decision is not, if not a potential sweep of its reasoning, was limited to guns in the home. They're often dangerous in the home, she said. Kids can be injured.
Children.
Thank you. Children. It's for the children. So anyway, what about this?
Okay. Second Amendment.
And at least one of the justices, I think it's Alito, said that if he were, they don't usually do this, but
he'd let
machine guns go through. Right. And let's go, buddy.
Yeah.
Dove hunting.
I want one of those things with the round magazine on it.
Heck yeah.
A Tommy gun?
A Tommy gun. Yeah. That's what I want. I would kill for a Tommy
gun.
I would watch this. I would kill for a Tommy gun.
Yeah, that would be great. 45. All right, here's the situation. If you look at the Constitution, it's divided into two parts.
Now, which Constitution? Is this your Constitution or mine?
My Constitution.
Okay, yours.
The U.S. Constitution is really divided into two parts, broadly. The first part is a grant of powers.
Right.
And the second part is limitations on that grant.
Right.
Okay, now, what it should be is the grant of power should be read narrowly, and the limits should be read broadly.
Right.
That's how it should be read. The Second Amendment is one of the limiting clauses. And it should be read broadly every single time.
Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, you change the Second Amendment.
That's right.
So what is the Second Amendment
say? It says is, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Okay. It's pretty clear.
It's very clear, except for one thing. What they've done is they've nitpicked at this thing, and they've said...
What is the meaning of is?
Right, exactly. They said, well, look, it says the reason, according to their reading of it, the reason that the right to bear arms shall not be infringed is because the state needs a well-regulated militia. And in other words, they're saying that the first clause limits the second clause.
Mm-hmm.
Play the, wrong answer.
That's right.
Exactly. Okay.
So what, they added a couple commas?
Well, no, here's the way. What you have to know the history of the development of these amendments. They were compiled from a much larger list of rights that were scribbled down and written down and approved by various congresses in the continental United States.
Probably right. on the other
states.
Paper, too.
The other states, right.
Including a list of the Virginia rights, which you can find. We'll try to post a link to it. What we ended up with was 10 amendments.
Right.
And if you look at them, they're multi-parted. Each one, for example, the First Amendment is speech and religion and expression and assembly and these things, which were all individual rights in the bigger list, in the broader list. But they had to pass these 10 amendments through a process of getting them ratified by all the states because the Constitution had already been passed.
Right.
And so they narrowed them down. They whittled them down.
And actually, the Bill of Rights, so to speak, one of the reasons they put it in there is because some of the states said they weren't going to ratify the Constitution unless...
It would not have happened.
It would not have happened, right? They said, if you don't come up with a Bill of Rights right away, we're not going to... And back in those days, people kept their word, which is interesting. In other words, they said they could have, like they do now... they say, well, if you will authorize a tax increase, we here in the Congress will give you a bunch of budget cuts. And then as soon as they do the tax increase, they go, ha, 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 we're left, sucker. You know, anyway, back in this days, they actually had some honor.
Right. And the states would not have ratified it without these amendments. One of the things they were deadly worried about was the idea that if you enumerated these rights, that they would be construed narrowly, and that therefore, then if they weren't mentioned expressly in these rights, then you didn't have those rights.
Right.
Well, that's why you're supposed to read them broadly.
And not only that, that's why you have 9 and 10, which have been practically forgotten.
Right. 9 and 10 are probably the most important ones these days.
All right, we'll get to those, but we're still on the second.
Right. Well, just briefly, 9 and 10 say if these rights that we've mentioned up in the first 8, or excuse me, if the powers that we mentioned in the first few articles in the first part of the Constitution, if there's something in there that's not covered by those powers, then it's reserved to the states in the 9th, and the 10th, it's reserved to the people.
Right.
Okay, I didn't say that very well, but if you look at them, it'll be obvious what I'm talking about.
We'll edit it all together.
Right.
you know, you're so cavalier with this editing business because you don't do it.
He's over there.
Yeah. Our editor's sitting over there shedding tears.
I'm not even mixing this show. I'm just going to mix it all down and post it.
So I would expect nothing less.
If you look, my point is this. If you look at the Second Amendment, it's really two rights. It's not only to keep and bear arms, but it's also the right to have a militia.
Right.
Okay. It's two, and the reason I know this is because if you look at the Virginia list, there's one in there, number 13, which basically just talks about the right to a militia. It doesn't mention guns at all.
Yeah.
The guns part came from another list.
Right.
And so they were trying to put two in here.
Right.
They were trying to say you get a militia and you get your guns.
Right.
Okay, also it's keep. Yeah, exactly. And it's keep and bear arms. What do you think that means? I mean, why not just put keep in there?
You don't want to just keep them.
No, it means
you gotta use them.
You're right. It means you can put one on your hip. You know?
Right.
You can walk around with that
bear
stuff.
An arm.
Exactly. You can walk around with that thing.
And that gets you back
to kill a bear.
And that's why, like Jimmy was saying earlier, people actually kept the word because everybody had a powder horn and a firearm. If you didn't keep your word,
you got blasted.
That's right.
Well, I mean, and also it was the frontier. I mean, there were vermin and British soldiers to shoot and Indians and stuff.
That's right.
And babies. Right. And so,
the children.
Now, if you read it more closely, think about it. Some people will say that this limits the right to bear arms to these militias. Well, it doesn't say the right of the militia to keep and bear arms. It doesn't say the right of the state to keep and bear arms. It says the right of the people. And that's what they meant. They meant the individual people, and that's what it should be.
Well, all things should be individual rights anyway. There are, when you talk about, there's no such thing as a collective right anyway, and that's what they've tried to do. You can't have all rights are actually individual when you think about it. And people, when they talk about collective rights, you're off the plantain. You're missing the boat entirely. The deal is, if you don't like that, I've always said this, if you don't like the Second Amendment, change it. We've changed the Constitution before a bunch of times, and in fact, we've made a mistake before and come back and revisited it. You can do that. One of the things that is scary about all this, and Stephen Molyneux brings this up, and that is, of course, the court, the judicial branch, is part and parcel of the government. They're paid with taxpayer dollars, and we expect them to be the bulwark against the intrusion on our individual rights by the executive branch, who has the guns and everything, and the legislature, which has the ability to tax us to death and everything else and pass all the laws. We expect the courts to stand aside. That's why they had And this is asking too much, obviously, to stand aside and say, look, you can't do all that. Now, the courts, of course, don't have an army, as we recognized with Andrew Jackson when they when he moved the Trail of Tears and everything, moved the Indians off of the reservation in Georgia. And
moved to Oklahoma.
Moved to Oklahoma, right, because the court said you can't do that, and Andy said, yeah, okay, fine, where's your army, and went ahead and did it anyway. The point is that...
Well, these days they sort of have an army in the marshals and the sheriffs.
Well, yeah, but it ain't very... Come on, give me a break. If the executive branch wanted to, they could order up a hell of an army compared to... I mean, when it all is said and done. It's a moral thing, and the fact is the courts, in my thinking, the courts should sit there and virtually everything that comes through that increases the power of the legislature or the executive, the courts should say no. No, 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 no. They should say no to all of it. And every time you add to the executive, or, and this is what's happened in this country, every time you add to the executive power or the legislative power, it never goes back the other way. Once it's a ratchet situation. Once it goes up, it goes up. And this is one of the problems with government, in essence, is even if you start with the most minuscule government of one person, eventually it ends up as a totalitarian regime. I mean, this is where we're headed. So this is what a lot of people say when you talk about, well, you'd just like to have a smaller government. Let's cut back and so forth. Well, it would grow back again. Okay, that may be. I'm willing to settle for like a tenth of the government we have today, at least while I'm here. Let my great great grandchildren worry about when it grows again. Okay,
right.
I mean, because realistically speaking, you're not going to eliminate it. So it's a constant battle. It's a constant battle. But my point is that people have to realize that it always, since they have the guns, they will win the battle in the long run. And in the long run, we're talking about a couple of generations here. We're talking about 60 years or so that they've really taken over, 60 or 70 years. They've really accelerated this head toward a totalitarian, you can call it a democracy, mobocracy, whatever you want to call it. The lockdown, the whole nine yards. And you can say what you want about it, but the simple fact is that it is not going back the other way. Until you cut off the money supply, and again, that's for another day. The point being that my point was that we have asked the courts to do a lot of stuff as far as, like you say, broadly interpreting the limitations and narrowly interpreting, and maybe they're starting to do that. I'm hoping it's not too late.
They've been doing it. Look, the courts have done a pretty good job of. Really, if you look at all the laws that they tried to pass through Congress,
there
was a bunch of them. It would have happened in one generation if it hadn't been for the courts.
Well, that's okay. I can buy that, but still, you look at something like Wickard, which we've talked about so many times, and basically once you allow,
they've dropped the ball a few times.
A few times they had a chance to. They had a chance. Basically, the problem with that is they have said that Congress can do anything. Under the Commerce Clause, anything they want to. And Congress is figuring out how to do it. So that's unbelievable.
They've definitely picked up some momentum in the last 60 years, as you said.
They're picking up even faster now.
And obviously some people, including this judge, have no fear of government at all. And at the same time, they have a fear of guns. And so when you get a person on the court that's of that mindset, you're going to get a dissent in a case like this. But I'm glad that they ruled 2-1.
Well, it's to say that it's headed for the Supreme Court, and nobody can read the tea leaves on this. It'll be interesting.
I think they'll uphold this one.
Yeah, and they should.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no...
Definitely.
Well, of course, what I don't understand about this is so outrageous. It reminds me a little bit of a case they had about a taking in South Carolina years ago, where a guy had $1 million piece of property, and because some rules that they passed, it ended up being worth about $100,000. He had lost 90% of the value of the property, and the court said that was a taking, and historically, if the government comes in and devalues your property or does not allow you any increase in the value, they have not considered that a taking. Even 30 or 40% diminution in the value of the property, the courts have not considered a taking. What, 90%? So, you know, I know it when I see it kind of thing. I don't know what the story is on that. But every little bit helps, I suppose, on this.
You got it. You take what you can get. I mean,
real estate should not be going down. It should always be more valuable. So if the government...
Tell that to the people next door who just took a $100,000 bath.
Well, it's how long can you wait?
Well, no. My point is that we had a bubble here.
About locally here?
Locally. We had a bubble. Locally, we had a bubble that busted last summer, and things have decreased. The prices on a lot of homes here have decreased by 10 to 20%.
So we're going to keep Jimmy Doan headquarters here for a while.
Yeah, because I couldn't sell this. Well, of course, unfortunately, I'm in the process of of diminishing the value of this property simply by being here. So
all these wild parties
this house was owned by Jimmy Doe.
That's right. That's right. That's always a problem.
A celebrity.
So you get, yeah, celebrity.
Yeah, celebrity sale. Yeah, that's right. Jimmy Doan was here. Okay. Okay.
So are you going to get your survival kit if they start to, you know, loosen up on some of these gun laws?
Are you kidding?
Survival kit contents check. In them you'll find 145 caliber automatic.
At least.
2 boxes of ammunition.
2. At least.
4 days concentrated emergency rations.
More than that. Sam Andy, here I come.
Containing antibiotics. Morphine.
Morphine!
Pills,
yes!
Pep pills.
Pep pills.
Pills. Tranquilizer pills. $100 in gold. 9 packs of chewing gum.
$100 in gold is
about... 1 issue of prophylactics. 3 lipsticks. 3 pair of nylon stockings.
Shoot, a fella could have a pretty good weekend in Vegas with all that stuff.
Okay, I'm in. Yes. So don't forget
the Jimmy Doan bag available on our website.
That's right. No. Well, only with appropriate donations.
1995.
That's 1995. Yeah, I was gonna say hello. Yeah, I love that. What is it? $100 in gold coin. That's right. You can't even see that anymore.
Right.
That's like a molecule at these prices. I know when that movie was made, I think it was, you could, you know, $100. That was like a.
As a piece.
That was a, well, it was more than that. $20. When this movie was made, a $20 gold coin, which today sells for like $800, you could buy them for like $40-$50. Wow. So it was 2 of those.
Well, anyway, what movie was that?
That was Dr. Strangelove, one of the best. We love it. Okay. Anything else on that?
Nope.
Okay.
Pinch that one off.
That's right.
Nice job.
The teacher alleged...
You say that every show, Jack. You know that?
You know, it's
every show I get this image.
It's copyrighted.
By the Hanger Dogs. Pinch that off. That's what Hanger Dogs say.
Yeah, well, you know, hey.
You're stealing.
Sue me.
So that's right. So sue me if you can find us.
Yeah, you know where to find me.
Yeah, that's right. Look at Google Maps.
Jack@JimmyDoan.com.
Yeah, right. I can see that.
I'll email you back.
Okay. Right. So anyway, in Boulder, Colorado, this is out in Hanger Dog territory. A substitute music teacher has been arrested.
Oh, this was a good one.
For allegedly, I love this. They say allegedly for whacking a 10-year-old student on the head with a viola bow after telling the class they were the worst players she'd ever heard. I mean, now let me tell you, this is a viola bow, you know, and they, of course, if you whack them on the,
it's a big stick of wood with some horse hairs.
Yeah, I know, but if you hit them on the head, I mean, you can't hurt anybody. I don't care.
No. It's a big piece of wood. Jimmy.
No, but if you especially hit them with the horse hair part, it just bounces off.
It's going through the wood.
She didn't. Well,
I bet you she hit her with the horsehair part.
Yeah, right. That's anyway. That's right. Anyway, she's been a teacher for more than 30 years in the district, and she began swearing.
Not anymore.
That's right. She got fired.
She had a 30-year career.
That's right. Anyway, Thursday, she'd been fired. Shinners is her name. And I guess you could take the H out of that and call her Sinner. Sinner.
Yep.
That's right. Could face a charge of child abuse resulting in injury. She is free on a $1,000 bond.
She will. If she was in Florida, her kids would be taken away. Guaranteed.
She's 63. Her kids are taken away. I can see that right now. Her 40-year-old. Her 40-year-old kids taken away. I tell you, speaking of that, can I arrange to get my kids taken away? I would like to have them on government support.
Abdicate my
That's right.
Fatherly responsibility.
Can I divorce my children? Oh my God. So anyway, what do you think? I mean, is she gonna get it? Huh? Boulder, Colorado.
She's gonna get a job in Singapore as a trainer.
How hard did you, what kind of injury are we talking about?
Well, as they said, she also pulled their hair, and my guess is the horse hair caught in the.
So the bitch freaked out, is what they're saying. After 30 years of teaching.
Jimmy is right. Look, I used to play the violin. The bow, literally, if you hit him with the horsehair thing, it bounces off like it's a rubber band.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
She's been teaching for 30 years. Guaranteed she hit it with the horsehair part. Yeah. And even if she whacked him, you know, I don't care what. It ain't that bad.
No, it's a little teeny stick.
No kid is worth that.
Even a viola is just a teeny stick.
We'll probably hear about that from the from our email people. Our all the Viola players will write us in.
And probably PETA, too. PETA, too, you know.
Yeah. That's right.
Unethical treatment.
Viola will be giving us a little email on that.
Okay, moving on.
Uh-oh.
This is, moving on, I want to talk about that. This is really a surprise.
Still legal stuff, right?
Yeah,
really
the Justice Department misused the Patriot Act.
That's impossible.
No, I know it's hard to believe, because, you know.
No, couldn't happen.
No, couldn't happen, because
we've been getting assurances.
Absolutely, they promised us that they wouldn't misuse it, and yet, here's the deal. FBI Dr. Robert Mueller said he was to blame, and he was going to take responsibility for not putting more safeguards in place. And, of course, what I want to know is, okay, you take responsibility. What does that mean? He ain't getting fired.
No.
I mean,
no.
What do you mean take responsibility?
That means he said he took responsibility.
I am to be held accountable, he said. I do not plan to resign,
he's
said.
Not facing any criminal charges, and he won't be. Guaranteed.
But apparently, they in a 126-page audit, found that the FBI improperly obtained telephone records in a non-emergency circumstance. Now, no intentional wrongdoing, they said.
Yeah.
Right. But my point is, they said in here, some of the Senate Judiciary Committee said, the report indicates an abuse of authority. Duh. You cannot have people acting as free agents on something where they're going to be delving into your privacy. And Senator Russ Feingold, who's...
Look, hopefully this will wake everybody up to the idea that you need the warrants. I don't care about the stupid national security thing. If you can't convince a judge that it's for national security, then you don't get it.
Apparently these administrative subpoenas, in many cases, were legal, totally legal. A lot of them are legal. They said there were some of them that should have gotten a judge, but apparently a lot of times the administrative subpoenas are perfectly legal.
Right. These were what they call letters of something, and
recommendation
or something. Okay. Yeah. And basically, you're right. And the majority of the time, they used them in the quote unquote correct manner.
Right. But here's the deal. This is a classic given a tool, they're going
to
use it. I don't care what it is.
With a hammer,
everything looks like a nail. And I'm telling you right now, this is the problem. With the noblest of intentions, we promise we will, you know, only going after the terrorists. We're not after the children or the old ladies or anybody
else. Only if you got a phone call directly from Osama bin Laden.
Right. That's the only time we're going to think about it. Right. No other time. We promise.
Right.
Okay. Then it turns out.
Except that time that you did it.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless we felt like it.
Yeah.
Or you're a political opponent or a drug dealer.
Right. We deem appropriate.
Taxpayer.
Or non-taxpayer.
If we deem inappropriate.
Right. You cannot have them self-police themselves. It just doesn't work. It's like we have an entire separate branch of government because of this exact situation. That's the entire reason to have the judicial branch of government.
Okay, my problem that I've got with the judicial branch, which comes from the last thing we're talking about, is that now they seem to have gone in cahoots with the other branches.
That's my point, is that the judiciary is there. They aren't always backing up the executive. They always back up the executive. You have to totally blow it as the executive to not get the judge to back you up. It is so easy to get a warrant. It's like ordering fries at McDonald's. You're going to get the fries. Right. And so my point is that if they can't convince the judge, it's way out of line. And therefore, at the very least, you need them to have that judicial scrutiny there. And so to skip that just literally throws the doors wide open, lets them do whatever they want. You know, and so... Well, we can say you can put more restrictions in there, whatever you want, but I think it's fine the way that it used to be with.
Well, you think it's fine, but I don't. I tell you the truth. I still think that the judges are way too lenient. I mean, I think that they ought to say no more often.
And
you see this all the time when they always say, well, go find a friendly judge. What the hell's that all about?
It means
angry judge.
Right. Well, it means a judge who almost always signs those things. And I've seen them signed with zero evidence to back them up. I mean,
zero.
I'm not kidding. I've called the warrants out. I've flushed out the people who did the initial.
Flushed them out.
Who did the initial investigation and
bird dog
and took what and seen the information that they brought to the judge, and it's like nothing. I mean,
well, let me ask you this:
is Nifong?
Do you ever get
Nifong? Nifong? DA.
He's the rape guy
in
North Carolina.
Oh, I don't know
who is Nifong. He's the guy who has the prosecutor misconduct.
Duke guy, yeah,
the Duke guy, right?
We'll add it in the lab.
Oh, God almighty, you die. You know, it's, you cavalierly throw around this editing in business. It's unbelievable. I love this we, you know.
There you go. There you laugh. That's as close as you're going to get to the
See, I told you we'd do it.
Yeah,
see,
that's right.
I told you.
Yeah. See? Wait a minute now. There was something you said before Jack interrupted.
Yeah, no, the fact of the matter is, so on your flushing out of all these warrants, did you ever...
Oh, yeah, I was going
to
ask you.
...get to come back and spank the judge?
Yeah, well, we got one search chucked out because it was filed in bad faith. And that's about the only way you get it, is when...
Boy, that's hard to believe. You mean somebody would actually file it in bad faith? These guys are sworn to uphold the law. They take an oath to uphold the law and everything.
I know.
Maybe. Now, is it possible to get one of these, get a judge to sign it over the telephone or anything? How about a fax? Anything like that?
They do that on TV all the time.
You pretty much got to give them the paper.
Okay, so in other words, you can't...
But can't you do the paper later?
Well, with the FISA court.
With the FISA, you can, right. Absolutely. You have like 10 days or something.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks for the minimum thing. And then there's like another one.
Now, what happens if... Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Now, I guess it just gets thrown out. But what happens if you bust on the FISA thing? You go in, you bust in, your SWAT team shows up, and you blast the shit out of the house, everything. You know, everybody gives you bullets everywhere and so forth and so on. And you go to the judge, and the judge says, you shouldn't have done that.
Right. Well, then presumably you could get whatever evidence they found suppressed.
Well, okay. That's all.
Right.
And the body's exhumed.
Right. you can get the body suppressed.
That's right. The body's suppressed. That's right. That's good. Didn't happen here.
So what was the FISA thing?
The FISA court is the international court that allows the government to do the wiretapping.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that Bush skipped.
Right.
Just recently came into compliance with, because now I guess there's no more national security issue or, you know. He really is just doing it to cover his butt, I think, because people would eventually said, you know, hey, maybe we should take a closer look at this.
Okay, but
especially now.
I can tell you that, it's going to happen again. If you think it's not going to happen again, the abuses will continue. People, as I say, they got the tool.
Well, look, you can't account for the abuse. I mean, if they break the law, you can't account for that. My point is that you don't want the law to change so they don't even have to do that.
That's true.
Now, the thing is that what's the deal about in good faith? If you said it was in bad faith as far as the warrant was concerned, what does that mean?
It means something like this guy is a known drug dealer, known to the cops, let's say, because they think he is.
Priors.
Right, priors or whatever. And so they file an affidavit which says he's a terrorist. And it's totally false. It's BS what they're saying. So the warrant's granted based on that.
His name was Mohammed.
And because they have no evidence that he's a drug dealer at all, and to present to the judge.
But they know they know he is.
Right.
And they're going to use this as a trick a trick to the judge to get in, and then they find the evidence and then they
hope to bootstrap it in on something like there's a doctrine of inevitable discovery, which you can get around certain things. If
plain sight.
Right. If they can say, well, we would have found it anyway, then that obviates a need for a warrant. Sight. Well, we walked in. We were just going to check the living room. And then I looked in the other room and there was a...
I tore the walls apart.
And and then that's where we found
plain sight.
All the marijuana.
That's right. I tripped and fell down and broke a hole in the wall.
Used to fund terrorist activity.
That's right. That's what we thought. Anyway.
Right.
Okay, good. Yeah.
We burned his house down and we all got high. We figured out.
That's right. We figured. You know, did you see that video of the, speaking of that, did you see the video of the that fruit in Africa that they all eat?
Yeah. The animals.
The animals.
Yeah.
They have this fruit apparently when it falls off the tree and starts to rot.
Monkeys and
giraffes and everybody, they all eat this fruit and it ferments in their stomach and turns to alcohol. And they showed them, you know, the animals going home, and they're stumbling all over the place like a drunk out of 0.20 alcohol.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
I thought the ostrich was the best one.
Let's put that link on our website.
It was hysterical.
The
Hanger
dog sent that.
Yeah, the hanger dog sent that to us. They had the elephant stumbling around. Let me tell you something. That's something you don't want to see. No, I mean, you know, you're running away from this elephant, and he's like stumbling all over the place, and you're thinking, where is this elephant going next? No clue. Giraffe was good.
Yeah, giraffe was
I mean, how
excellent.
Do you, you know, how do you control those legs?
Right.
You know, when you're drunk, I mean, you got 40-foot legs or whatever, you know, shit. I mean, there is no, and you got four of them. I mean, you know, it's bad enough for us on two, but, you know, they got four of them to control.
Yeah.
It's something else. That, but the ostrich, to me, look. I've seen people look like that ostrich. I mean, I've seen girls like that. I really, with the neck and everything, dressed mm-hmm. like that. Ostrich, right. Exactly. I know, especially when I was drinking. Several. Took one of them home.
Jimmy was talking.
Rode one home.
That's right. Rode one home. That's right.
He was talking to the ostrich.
That's right. Well, welcome. You know, that was a... That was a, what do they call it? A coyote special.
Chew your arm off.
That's it. Okay. So, and my intemperate youth.
Like I took home an arm last night. A bloody arm at that.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you, since we're on the FBI stuff and federal stuff, right. Have you heard about the new Real ID deadlines?
Yes. I meant to print that out, too. Go ahead.
They've extended the deadlines. The federal government has extended the deadline for the states.
Tell us what a real ID
is. The real ID is what the federal government wants to have everybody in the United States carry. It's called your papers. Your papers.
Are not in order.
And originally, they were going to allow the states to come up with their own rendition of it, and every state was going to have their own.
That would have been great.
Right. No.
California's, I would have loved to read that one. All right, keep going.
So now they're going to do it all in one. They want to do it. They want to have everybody have this exact same card. And of course, to me, this is your license to be free. Because if you don't have it, what's going to happen? They're taking your ass to jail.
Well, watch your head.
They're going to say you can't go in any federal building and you can't fly on an airplane.
Right. And that's if the states do not come up. If any state does not come up with its plan by October of this year for implementation over the next 5 years, then none of that state's residents would be able to enter any federal buildings or board any airplanes.
One good thing about that, I suppose that would be a good state to go and set up your meth lab in, because if you can't go in the federal building, then how are they going to arrest you?
Well, that's what I was thinking, man. I mean, what a stupid idea.
Well, it's like saying you can't go into the jail.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it,
amen.
The deal, of course, about this is the cards were supposed to be non-reproducible, obviously, have a under an ultraviolet light, and like our money, I guess, or whatever it is, picture and biometric data.
It's uncounterfeitable.
Uncounterfeitable. Well, of course, the problem is it was supposed to cost $2 billion, and the Fed just said states go ahead and do it, and the states are screaming bloody murder. They don't have the money.
That's the only reason why. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, that is it. It's about the money. No. Believe me.
We'd all have real IDs right now.
No, that's right. If the Feds would pony up with the money, believe me, we would all have embedded cards to tomorrow. There's no question about it. And they,
we're just gonna put this slot in you here.
Believe me, they have no qualms about it at all. And if you think it's not coming, I mean, it's just
the rule from Schmerber versus California. You've got no right to your body. Basically, they can take your blood. They can do all kinds of stuff to your body. It's amazing.
It is. Well, no, we've talked about this on almost every show about how the lockdown is headed this way, and this is just another example. And it is amazing how quickly now, just in the past 4 or 5 years, especially, it's all hung on the terrorist thing.
It's a new world since 9/11.
It's a new world since 9/11.
It's 9/11.
And they've said basically it's not going to end. They've told us flat out this war will go on forever. We're going to pass new war regulations forever. And every regulation is designed for your security. And it's most important that you understand that your security comes at a price, and it's called your freedom.
Right. And this is because it's a war on a word in the dictionary, terror.
That's right. And we don't know who they are. We don't know where they are, but we know they're all over the place. And we're telling you.
They're everywhere.
That's right. They're everywhere. It could be anybody.
Sleeper cells.
And by the way, if you suspect anybody, or if anybody looks suspicious,
and you
call
don't
us.
Report them.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Then you go to jail.
Right.
No, I mean, this is the ghoul. It is right out of the Stalin era. I mean, if you can't see this, it is mind boggling to me. If you can't see this, I mean, we still have some time, and we still
enjoy it.
Well, enjoy it while you can. But if you're half Jimmy's age, prepare for the worst, and Jimmy won't be here.
But remember, we have PayPal. So if you want to help Jimmy
escape, and then you have to stay. Send me your escape money.
Join the donation.
That's right. Send me your escape money, and I'll get out.
That's right. Must go on.
That's right. That's right. At least you can listen. Until they confiscate your iPod in jail.
We'll keep the podcast going from Jimmy's Island.
That's right. We can do that. That's
well, somewhere yeah, this, in the middle
the
of
the entire
what?
Real ID. Please, please write all of your people in Congress and say that you do not want this license to be free because that's what it's going to be. And if you don't have this thing on you, it's going to be bad news.
Yeah, it is. Well, again, I tell you the truth. I hate to be cynical about this, but I don't see how any way they're going to stop it. They're going to keep. It's like so many things. They keep pounding and pounding and pounding and chipping away, and finally it goes through.
Well, we won't know if we don't try.
Thank you for that little note.
Genius,
there.
Isn't it? I told you.
That's right. Oh, ye of much hope and faith. I love you for it. I suppose. Okay, moving on. Anything next? I've got the other thing that our counselor may just love to see this, and I love this.
We're in the legal
child part. Care oversight lacks in many states. This caught my eye because many states are distressingly lax in their regulation and oversight of child care, according to a new nationwide survey, which gives its lowest ranks marks to Idaho and Louisiana. Highest is run by the U.S. military, which is interesting because the military can't run the damn hospital, but they can certainly apparently run child care.
Elementary school.
Well, I guess. I don't know. State child care standards and oversight in this nation are not protecting our children and not preparing them for success in school, which, of course, we've talked about that. Good luck. The other deal that I looked at in this was the military system, which expanded and improved dramatically over the past 15 years. Encompasses more than 740 facilities worldwide, interestingly enough, spaces for 184,000 children. Its training and safety standards are considered state-of-the-art, which means it can be done. But what I like is they want to tighten the regulations for child care centers. The Idaho's low-ranking system came as no surprise to state representative, who has been trying unsuccessfully for 3 years to tighten the regulations on child care centers. Oversight is minimal for Idaho centers with fewer than 13 children. Who knows what that's all about? Many are not required to be licensed, and employees do not need first aid training or high school degree. And, of course, my question is, well, what's the harm? I mean, who's been hurt by this at this point? One of the things that they did do in here was
Well, this is a call for a national central child care system.
Exactly. They want to have national. That's exactly right. And this goes on to say, and this, you hit the nail on the head. It's amazing. It said Congress should require fingerprint checks and basic training for all paid daycare workers as a condition for states to receive federal aid, child care funds, and so forth. But I love this. Assemblyman John Benoit in Louisiana, I think this is it, no, California, evoked the 2004 drowning of a toddler at a licensed daycare facility in Riverside, California. He established a rating system for child care centers in California and established a system for all the child care centers in California. And he brought up this 2004 drowning of a toddler. I mean, the little girl in the mineshaft.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. I'm surprised this article did not mention the name of the toddler, because that's what the bill's probably going to be called.
Yeah.
The
Save Jimmy Act
or something like that. I mean, a drowning out of probably, I don't know how many, what, a couple of million kids in daycare, and one drowned, law gets passed, regulate everything. I mean, it's astounding to me that people buy into this. And this is the forest and the trees thing. You know, this one tree's been injured, so we're going to burn down the whole forest or something. I mean, I don't know. That's it. Cut them down to save them. It's astounding. Well, so anyway, so here's the deal. My point is, here is something that should be so local. Literally, child care can be a neighborhood, and in so many places it is. Literally, it's you take your kids down the street to somebody down there, and she
Susie's
says... Susie's house. And Susie says, I'll watch the kids for a while you go grocery shopping or whatever. And basically, it's informal, and maybe Susie gets paid a couple bucks, you know, and she watches maybe half a dozen kids or something like that. I mean,
Susie's going to have to give her DNA.
Absolutely.
And she's got to pay taxes on that.
Well, no, and I understand that. And, you know, and she may. That's not the point.
She's got to have insurance.
But now it's going to be
federal oversight.
A federal Gestapo person is going to walk in, ask her for a real ID card.
One of those happy people.
That's right. and could care less about the kids. And, of course, if, you know, what they do is, and this has happened, I saw this in another article, where it was a daycare center, something like that. They walked in and they found, I don't know, I won't call it unsafe conditions or whatever, but they shackled whoever it was there and took them out. The kids literally were standing there, you know, looking around. They were a little older, but I mean, there was nobody supervising there for a while in this particular thing when they carted off whoever the...
We're not even going to bring up all of the immigration control people, the situation that...
Immigre.
That's the ICE, where they've been bagging people left and right and leaving the kids everywhere.
Say what?
You've heard about that recently?
No.
Some of the recent raids, like they busted a leather shop up in New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And they stranded 100 kids in various daycares.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, the governor said, well, they're hiding the kids from us because they're afraid of the government system that cares for the kids. Well, no shit.
Witness your raid just took away mama.
Right.
I mean, it's astounding to think that we're here. I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Oh, by the way, your mother's in jail. And where's the kids? I don't care. I mean, I don't know. And this is exactly right. There's just two or three places that they did this.
Yeah.
Literally carted them off. Because and some of them were like married to an American. They've been here for years, but they didn't have the papers. Won't say they go to jail, and their kids literally are left. We don't know where the kids are, and there's nothing we can do about it.
And I'm sure the kids have instructions to hide.
Exactly.
I mean,
and for exactly this reason.
Right.
I mean, here's what they say. Okay, look, kids. Come on out of hiding. We just took your mother in chains to jail.
We'll take care of you.
And you come on out of hiding and we'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And even the kid knows there's something stinky about this.
My, what big eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
What big teeth.
God,
what a big door, jail drawer you have.
So anyway, I'm going to move on.
Okay.
Go for it.
And this,
your right. It's still
we'll segue right into about a new immigrant thing. And this is in Colorado again, hanger dog territory. Inmates will replace wary migrants in Colorado fields. I mean,
we said this before, not weary.
No, not weary, wary.
It's like
what I love this is it turns out
happened to me.
It turns out that because of the crackdown on the people who pick the crops in Colorado,
Or undocumented.
They're undocumented. Who says they're
illegal aliens? Excuse me.
That's right.
Undocumented.
That's right. Anyway, it turns out that the farmers are finding out that about half the people that they expect to show up and pick their watermelons or whatever are not going to be there. Oh, woe is us. Where are we going to get the people? We're paying those people not even minimum wage, you know, $2.5 an hour plus a piece work or whatever the hell it is, which they're sending $20 billion back to Mexico. Everybody's all upset about that. We've talked about that before. The deal is now, interestingly enough, the governor of Colorado with these people said, look, I'll tell you what, I know we get some labor almost free. How about we get some low-risk prisoners who probably won't run away, and we're going to pay them 60 cents a day to pick your crops. Well, needless to say.
Well, we'll give them soap and stuff.
So anyway, the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition estimates there are about 150,000 illegal.
Wait a second, there's a Colorado Immigrant Rights
Coalition. Yeah.
Are they illegals?
I have no idea.
But they got a club.
That's it. Downtown.
They got a club.
But the point is that what's interesting about this, some farmers are saying, whoa, wait a minute. I want my immigrants, illegal or not, back. And the reason is because they're skilled. I mean, they can tell a ripe tomato from a not ripe one or whatever
and
it is.
They care. They give a crap. I mean, let's face it. They're working for wages. These guys are going to be slave labor.
They are going. Now, that is the other thing I want to find. They literally are going to be slave labor.
Right.
I mean, this is and they're going to hang this out and they're going to say, well, you know, it's better than a chain gang. And they're actually doing productive work, but it's crowding out, you know, somebody else. And they say, well, it's crowding out the illegals. But of course, some of the farmers in Iowa, at any rate, are calling up and saying, yes, send them on. Apparently, whatever the crop is doesn't require any skill.
We got some cotton here.
Yeah, we got whatever it is. But the point is, yeah, got some cotton. Make sure the people you send are black. And that's it. So anyway, no, we can get back to it again. That'd be great, you know, for a movie. So
that's great.
The amazing. So we can get another Grapes of Wrath thing here. Anyway, the deal is that some of the farmers are saying, yeah, hell yeah, I'll do it. 60 cents is better than $3 that I'm paying my illegal immigrants or whatever, whoever they are. I don't know. So one farmer asked for as many as 200 inmates. Of course,
I got a whole plantation.
That's right. You know, wonder what the wives of the inmates are paying him to.
They're running away.
But somebody says it's not a job training program. It's exploitative. But Ari Zavaris, executive director of the Colorado Department of Corrections. Now, I mean, here's a classic example of somebody who gets paid to say something, said the merit of a hard day's work outdoors was invaluable to an inmate.
That's invaluable.
He won't be paid big bucks, but we're hoping this will help our inmates pick up significant and valuable job skills. I think the word is pick. our inmates pick up significant and valuable. And I think the operative word there is pick.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But the point is that I love this. That this guy named Piscata, who says they are considering whether or not they want to pay for an urban inmate who could not single out a ripe watermelon or discern between a weed and an onion plant. This is not a cure-all, Mr. Piscata said. What our farm laborers do is skill. This is the part I like about Mr. Piscata. They're born with it. And they're good at it.
Right.
It's not an easy job. I mean, on both sides of the coin, these people are so screwed up.
There's not many
born with it. Hello. I don't think so. But I mean, the point is,
not many urban people that don't know about a good watermelon or a good weed.
I guess they'll certainly, again, I would, yeah, the weed,
it's
they
balls
certainly
for
wouldn't.
The wall day here.
That's it. That's it. No, but I just, I thought this is on so many levels. As you know, the United States has more inmates per capita than any other
Western country.
Any other Western country, and I think even more than the communist countries. I don't know.
There are lots of communist countries who have more than we do.
Well, that's
per capita,
okay.
Right?
They
okay.
just actually kill
but
them.
It,
they
have twice as many as France or Germany or Britain.
Okay,
and I mean just. Twice as many.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So anyway, those. But at least now I can. I bet you the guys that are in for marijuana could tell the difference between the weed and the onion. But
hopefully,
yeah, and of course they might. You know, while they're out there, might plant a little.
Right.
So you know, come back later.
Well, remember we talked about that before.
The number one cash crop.
The government needs some help. Remember, there wasn't enough good research marijuana.
Right. And even more.
See, we could do that.
Where was I? I read something speaking about the number one. Cash crop. Oh, I know what it was. Small digression. I didn't realize this, but we're talking about our trade imbalance with China.
Right.
The deficit trade balance. Do you know what the highest, let me put it this way. How can I explain? How can I say this? The highest volume item that we export to China is?
Rice.
Waste paper.
Oh, yeah.
Waste paper, highest in volume. We got
that comfortable stuff.
Well, what's
waste paper?
Toilet paper.
No. I think it's cardboard and stuff, newspaper, okay. Stuff like that. But all the we don't
recycle
recycled toilet paper. I don't think. Have you ever tried to recycle the Charmin? I don't think so. You could recycle. You could recycle
they got big
toilet paper all day long because that stuff's like wax. That makes wax paper look soft.
They just put filters in the system and recycle.
It's like boards.
Yeah. Huh?
Chips is what they give.
Well, that's why they. Yeah, right.
It's like that thing that comes around your cup of Starbucks, right?
Or a biscotti or something like that. I'm sorry. What?
Great triple Z big hunk of wood.
That's right. I'm sorry. What do you use for? What do you use for to wipe your butt with? Oh, I'm sorry. Pringles. Yes, that's good. They fit right.
Use food, Jimmy.
Oh no, we weren't done yet. Oh, were we done?
No, I'm done.
Damn, I heard the noise.
That's right. Okay, I'm done with that.
Okay.
And the next thing, the last thing I have here has to do, since it be an eBay geek that I am, sell and tell the IRS. Everyone knows that income earned from online auctions is taxable. As you well know, if you earn income, you have to pay taxes on it. But
you don't have to worry about that, Jimmy.
No, I lose my.
It's a net loss.
That's right.
Take our word for
I've
it,
got.
Okay?
I am a firm believer in the buy high and sell low.
Well, you've been doing it for so long, you're really good at it.
I am really good at it, I'll tell you.
You pass it on the saving.
Yeah.
I pass the saving. My law, probably the top line, one of the reasons my stuff sells so fast is because the top line in my description is, my loss is your gain. People look for that. They just search for my loss is your gain, and my stuff pops up there all the time. No, I mean, because, you know, I'm a early adopter person. I buy the geek crap right out of the box.
You buy the computer when it's like $1 million.
That's right.
And the next week, it's like
let me tell you something. It's worse than that. I mean, if you think driving a car off a lot loses you money, you ain't seen nothing like the technology business.
Depreciation dones.
That's right. I went to a computer fest up in Jacksonville yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And they had stuff up there. I just paid for this video camera, which we're going to put on one of these days. It's right here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I paid, you know, 50, 60 bucks or something for it. It's got, I don't remember what it was.
All right.
Something.
That's a lot of money.
Right. Well, up there, they were selling them with the little with the LED lights so that it light up so you and everything the with the camera and the microphone, $12.95. I mean, I'm going like, whoa, this is a TV camera, right. For God's sakes, for $12.95. I mean, when I was growing up, the TV camera that showed you Kate Smith singing I'll Be Home for Christmas or whatever, they were like $1 million in 1950 dollars, which is like $1 billion dollars today, you know, for and the camera, and it weighed like three people had to move it around on this huge, the floors creaked is this thing. Concrete floors cracked underneath these things.
Well, at least you're getting your $50 worth, Jimmy, because I see the camera's not plugged in or working.
That's right. Well,
but it looks really cool.
It looks cool. Well, I'll sell it.
Oh, okay.
On eBay.
I'll give you $10.
I'll give you $10. It might end up in your bag.
Sold.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, the point is that the eBay should, they want to sue, they want to have eBay now have everybody show their real ID card, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah. Now eBay is going to police everybody.
eBay says, hey, not us, because we're not even brokers. We, you know, we don't even know if the stuff sells.
And,
half the time.
And besides, that'll cut back on our profits.
Well, they, my point is what they're saying is that there are other sites, and notably one of the big ones is called Craigslist. I don't know if anybody big deal, but a lot of people put it's all free.
Yeah.
And Craigslist, you know, they don't police what anybody does. They don't even know if the stuff sells. So, I mean, how can you collect? And this brings up the whole point is the motto of every state in the union and the federal government is it's never enough. It doesn't matter how much money they have, how much overpay anybody does, it's never enough. And they've claimed that there's something like a couple of hundred, I don't know, billions of dollars that is, quote, escaping the taxpayer because on income tax, not to mention the states are all upset because whenever you buy something from somebody out of state and it gets delivered, you don't pay your local sales tax on it. And that's right. So they're claiming, you know, they want to recover that money. They want to have a way to do all that. But anyway, the deal is that although the proposed rule is vaguely worded, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, it would force auction sites to report user sales to the Internal Revenue Service if they surpass 100 transactions or amount to more than $5,000 a year. Now, what I mean,
you got to keep changing your screen name or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you can't. Let me tell you, the problem is on eBay, you get penalized for that. If you do that, you get a little thing.
Well, it's not as bad as getting in trouble with the federal government, right?
Okay, but here's the deal: if you keep changing your name and then they catch you, you're in trouble both ways.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I mean, if you keep changing your name, you don't get as much money. You count on your feedback score going up to, you know, 90.
I don't know.
Well, the feedback in eBay is a big deal, and you really want it to be, you know, 98-99% with a couple hundred transactions.
Well, I'm just saying, there's going to be loopholes for this.
You say that, but I love this here as usual. The last sentence is one
I was waiting for. It.
Okay, this
always the best.
David, whatever his name is, marketing chairman for the Professional eBay Sellers Alliance, told the Chronicle that big sellers, people who make a living on eBay, are compliant. Every professional I've ever talked to pays their taxes and has no problem with anyone finding out about the level of business they're doing. Okay, number one, yeah, exactly. Every professional I've ever talked to, number one, that's
he's emailed all of them.
Yeah, right now, that's everyone that he's ever talked to, and of course, none of them ever lied to him.
Right,
and it reminds me of the old, which I've mentioned so many times, the lady in New York who couldn't understand why Bush won the election because nobody she knew had voted for George Bush. And it tells you a little bit about her circle of friends, which is okay, but I mean, zero people. You know, she knew 100 people. Every one of them had voted for John Kerry or whoever was running against Bush, Gore, right? And she knew, you know, that told you about her circle of friends. Well, this tells me about his circle of friends.
What is it? Emmy Award winning Gore?
Oscar.
Oscar Award winning.
Well, I will
dissect that.
I wouldn't mean to digress. I just misspoke. Yeah, he can't. Yeah. Now he's, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Now he's a Hollywood, you know, chick bay magnet, whatever.
Oh, he's a Hollywood person. Now.
Yeah, he's Hollywood. That's right. I want to go to Hef's parties.
We're digressing.
No, I'm done with this. My point is that the IRS is trying to do something, and it wouldn't surprise me if they try and do it, that can't be done. I mean, which is, you know, and then they're going to complain. What they're going to do is this. Here's the way it would work. First of all, they find a way to get eBay to, quote, register everybody. A lot of people don't register or do whatever. However, they say, look, I'm just selling my own crap. It's not income. It's, you know, I'm actually, if I'm going to pay, I should get a capital loss on the stuff,
right.
Actually. Hello, if I got to pay on what I win, how about, you know, it's like gambling.
How about you pay me when I lose?
Yeah, I'm in for
that's
the earned income tax credit, for God's sakes, if you're going to count my losses.
It's a donation.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what they'd love. But anyway, here's something that you literally would be almost impossible to do, even with computer. It was the computer technology we have
today.
Yeah, they're
trying. They're just looking for ways.
But I love this. 100 transactions or 5,000 a year. I tell you, you know what it takes? It takes nothing to do that. I mean, anybody can do it. I mean, literally, I go to garage sales. I know I do, you know, a couple hundred a year, and it's certainly 5,000 bucks. So I have to report. Okay, right.
Yep. Oh, they're going to make it.
Goodbye, yes. Jimmy.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, if I was making any money, you think I'd be broadcasting from or podcasting
right,
from here?
Right.
You would hear the clink of margarita glasses and Spanish speaking in the background, I can tell you right now.
I dare the IRS to try to get a tax
no,
return.
No. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The hell are you doing?
What are you saying?
Jimmy Doan or Jack Rhodes, I dare you.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead. I dare you.
Yeah, okay, fine, thanks. I'm done.
Yeah, right.
All right, we got light notes. Well, we're waiting for Crazy Frog. We got Crazy Frog? There we go. Now it feels like light notes. Hey, it's light notes.
All right, there you go.
All right, thank you. It's the little things sometimes.
I got Paris Hilton violated.
Ooh. Whoa.
I mean, not in that way. No,
oh.
No. Her probation.
Oh.
She
yeah.
violated probation?
Yep. I called it when she got the sentence. She got 3 years probation, 2 months ago?
Right.
She's already been caught driving.
She's not allowed to drive?
No. Oh, hell no.
I did not know that.
No, shoot it. You got DUI.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, that I mean, you can violate your probation by, you know, like carrying a Tommy gun around or something. Or,
yeah, any
or,
of that
or
stuff.
Drinking. Is she allowed to drink, do you know?
Hell no.
And how about, and it's just report in, right?
Yeah.
Like every 30 days or something,
yep.
You have to report to
probably.
Your PO.
Yep.
What she did was drive.
Right.
And
bad
got caught.
News. Oh, yeah.
Now, the question is, how did she get caught? Does this
well, you know,
get
usually.
Over.
But for what?
How about the 40 cars driving behind her? All the
oh, that's right. Exactly. That's yeah. That's right.
I mean,
no,
that,
you're right. No, that's
it. It's
like a Chinese dragon float.
The paparazzi.
That's right.
The paparazzi called
not
the
only
police.
That, you know, when you realize
so they
that
they could get, you know, better shots.
You
yeah,
know,
no kidding.
And
no.
Well, of course, she has a vanity tag. What pump me or something like that. Or, I mean, what? I mean, I don't. I'm pimp me. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
I like but, pump me better.
Yeah. No, she. Yeah. So she's going to jail.
Is she really?
I think
no
so.
Way.
Even with all that money.
Maybe she can get out of this one.
Now, what's her name? What's her name went to jail for shoplifting, right? Didn't she win on
it? Winona?
She didn't have the money that Paris
No, but she didn't violate her probation either. That was just a little petty theft, a little petty shoplifting.
Okay.
The DUI is a big deal these days.
Yeah, I know.
And driving on your DUI is a big, big deal.
Yeah, I know. Well, they told me.
They take your panties
away. Let me put it this way.
In Florida, it's 30 days.
I know, and it's automatic.
Yes.
It's like you don't go, there's no hearing. You just, it's right away.
You do not pass go.
No, I mean, they, you know, get out of the car, get in this car,
yeah.
You know, watch your head, and you start your 30 days, you know, in 30 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've been there.
So I don't
actually,
know.
Haven't actually
and
been
And I
there.
Think California is stricter than it is here. So.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't doubt.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting to see if she shaved head and all goes in. She, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah, cool.
Country club prison.
Shaved
oh, all. Right. Well, no, you now would she, if she went in there, would she be a celeb or what?
Man.
She'd get made?
She'd get beat up.
You think? No.
Well,
they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't beat her.
Bitch?
She's worth $100 million. No. She's worth $100 million.
No,
tell you, she'd take
her.
Names and have somebody killed. There's no way they're going to. No, I'm serious. They, you know, with $100 million, you can hire
it's
somebody.
It's going to be interesting because it's going to come down to something like I think they'll put her in a nice cell. With sort of a small person,
Nicole Richie, or
right?
Whatever.
With what's it? Eve or no? Who's the rapper? Lil Kim is in
Lil
there.
Kim.
Oh,
yeah.
Lil Kim. Right.
Yeah, but she's in there. She went for a year and a day, so she went to prison. This will be just jail. This will be county jail.
That'll be.
She'll probably do rehab in place of that. That's what I'm getting. That.
Yeah, she will. But it'll be mandatory this time.
Yeah.
There ain't no running away.
It'll be 2 months of hanging out in some hideous. Rehab places.
Well, I don't know what, you know, again, I speak from experience on this. You can find a pretty decent place that actually does
the
rehab.
$100 million.
Huh? Huh?
Especially if you got $100 million.
I'm telling you, it doesn't cost anywhere near that. She could
do it. Was Britney still in rehab, or did she spring herself out?
No, she bolted after a few hours.
Yeah, twice.
From both of them.
Right, so she's still out on the street right now?
Yeah, but that was all voluntary. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it's one thing when you sign, you're allowed to walk right off the plantation if you sign. But once, if you're court ordered, woo-hoo. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's if you walk off, then you do go to jail for sure. There's no way getting around that one.
Yeah. Yep. Now here's my other one. The golfer was just in a high speed auto chase here in Florida.
What?
Not really a light note, but there was a PGA golfer was involved in
a young guy
high speed motorcycle race, which resulted in the death of the other racer.
Was this like a drag race from?
Yes.
This was out of Rebel Without a Cause or something.
Yeah. Well, right. It was Bike Week last week in Daytona. For those of y'all who don't know,
and I wondered when I was coming back, even from Jayville, I noticed that there were like hundreds of bikes.
I saw one of the guys from Orange County Chopper in Gainesville.
Whoa.
Cruising on one of his choppers over there off Main Street.
Cool.
Yep.
And, of course, this week is Drag Week.
Gator Nationals.
This weekend, Gator Nationals?
Yes. Gator Nationals starts Thursday.
Oh, man.
Thursday through Sunday. Gator Nationals. You don't want to miss that.
So, anyway, my point is this. They could say that this golfer committed a felony, and as a result of his committing the felony, this person died.
Mm-hmm. That's bad.
Bootstrap them together. Because in Florida, there's a law that says if you commit a felony and somebody dies as a result thereof, or you're a major contributing factor, you can be held big time liable.
Right.
The golfer is Atwal, just want to say, and I believe he's the first Indian player.
From India. From India, okay.
India, right.
Well, that's right. He's from Malaysia.
What, BJ or something?
BJ is from Malaysia.
Yeah,
right.
This was the first Indian player, so he's huge in his country. I mean, he's huge in his country.
Okay, so let me get this straight. They were doing like a regular friendly drag race.
Right.
And somebody veered off and somebody got killed.
That's right.
Okay, not the golfer. His.
The other guy.
Let's not jump to conclusions, everyone.
Right. Well, that's what they're saying right now. They're like, boy, I'd be playing golf in India right now if I was.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, before they yanked the passport,
they won't let him out of the country, though.
Oh, you say?
Well, right now, no charges.
Let me tell you, no charges are filed, how fast can I get to the airport? Let me put it this way. As a U.S. citizen, I'd be playing golf in India.
Well, definitely.
Like I said, at least he's facing the street racing charges.
Definitely that. But I'm just saying, if they feel like it, they have the power to put this guy
And you know what?
Negligent homicide or what? No, it's not.
Something like that. It's called felony homicide. What it means is that you are committing any felony, and somebody died.
Street racing and someone died.
Right.
And it's bad because let me tell you something. Isn't it a felony if you run away from the police?
Yes.
So in other words, if you run away and somebody dies in the process.
Yes.
Whoa.
What if somebody died like in the hospital?
Same thing. It doesn't matter if they die a year later.
Oh, really? No, come on. You've got to be kidding me. No, isn't there a time limit?
No time limit.
I can see that.
Yep.
I saw a Law and Order thing where they argued that it was like. 3 years later.
Well, what they argued was intervening cause, another cause.
Okay.
But
I mean, in other words, if you get hit by the motorcycle and you're like in a coma for 20 years and then you croak,
they can charge you with murder.
Okay.
These were not motorcycles. They were they were racing cars. It was
what?
Street race. Yeah.
No,
he was on a motorcycle.
The other guy. I was ready. His motorcycle smashed into the tree and disintegrated.
I thought it was cars.
It was Bike Week, for God's sake. It wasn't called Car Week. Anyway, they have Car Week.
Yeah, acting with a program.
I still think it was Car.
Yeah, okay. So obviously what the defense is going to say on this is that he had nothing to do with the guy's death. The guy obviously wasn't looking. They were racing.
They didn't hit.
I'd say he was hauling ass. My guy was just speeding, and the other guy decided to race him.
Okay, and obviously wasn't paying attention and ran into a tree.
He got the Darwin.
His own fault.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why they pay that's right. Well, you're the he's the attorney. He, right. You know, here I'm sitting here. I'm admitting something like an idiot. Wait a minute. Where's my get out of jail free card? Oh, damn it.
Jesus.
It's the get Darwin defense.
Don't admit anything.
No, I. No, remember now. And that's another thing you can remember about Jimmy is don't admit anything. You see that? Don't admit anything. That's where you remember the Jimmy Doan show. Don't admit anything.
Yeah. No. I mean, this is one where you go, well, it wasn't me on the motorcycle. But if it was me, I wasn't driving. And if I was driving, then I wasn't speeding. And then if I was speeding, then I wasn't racing. And et cetera, et cetera.
You don't
get to do that in criminal law, though, actually. You got to pick your theory and stick with it.
Well, and he's already set it up. I mean, several of the articles I saw, you know, already said his friends are already coming and saying, you know, it was not a race. And people are exaggerating all
right.
sorts of stuff.
Right.
He's not that kind of guy, and so they're laying the groundwork.
Hopefully, the prosecutor won't go after
strategic.
Oh, but yeah, this well,
they're,
of course,
they're not gonna. They're
if
not,
it could be like one of those bloodthirsty.
I'm predicting right now.
Oh, I understand that part, but the problem is if it's a big news thing, the prosecutors, of course, being the camera. I want to run for governor next,
right.
You know, kind of thing,
exactly.
and
make the streets safe.
Straight. That's right for the children.
There could have been kids out there.
That's right. At Bike Week, drinking
right.
and everything.
Right.
I don't know. Ask Nifong.
Yeah.
You know who Nifong is? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Okay.
Ask him. He thought it was going to be a good move.
Boy, I'll tell you.
He picked a winner, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, but you look at someone like Janet Reno, who lied through, who went crazy, you know, down there in Miami and absolutely went nuts and ended up being attorney general and then decided to vaporize 80 kids at Waco. Okay.
Well, she was attorney general when they raided Elion. Too.
Right.
Elion Gonzalez.
Should I tell you, talk about a track record.
I'm here to help you, son. All right.
Yes.
All right, we rolling on?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I had a bunch of stuff, but I'm going to try to keep this show under 2 hours here. So,
good.
Did you see the new, they finally kind of released the new ADS non-lethal weapon, which is...
I saw that, I wanted to ask you about that, as a matter of fact. Wait a minute, I had
What's
that
What's ADS
here.
Stand?
It means... I love it, because it installs... what is it? It produces what experimenters call the goodbye effect.
Yeah.
Or it prompts highly motivated escape behavior. Goodbye. And basically, it's kind of like shooting a microwave oven beam at somebody. Like your skin starts to
makes you feel like you're on fire.
It's like
a taser,
fire.
A phaser. Another way.
No,
to...
it's waves. It's not.
You're right.
You don't
but
have to get
but,
hit.
But another way to restrict someone's movement.
Non-lethal.
You don't restrict their movement. You increase their movement away from you.
Yeah.
It's called the goodbye effect.
Oh, right.
They go run away.
You shoot them with this ray, and they feel like they're on fire.
And they take off running. It is for crowd control.
Just prior about that one.
Right. Yeah. My big question is there anybody knows where I can get one? I would like to get one. That's what
there's
I want.
There's another one that makes you lose your bowels.
Yeah, there's another. And
what? A ray?
Yeah.
No, come on.
And
no way.
Well, they're working
what's
on another.
That? What's that one called, man?
Lose your bowels ray.
That's the X-Lax, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
The X-Lax ray.
That's right.
Can you take that to high school or what?
There's another one that they were trying to... work on to make people get not dizzy and vomit and stuff, too.
Well, no, wait. The thing I saw this, of course, this is supposed to replace rubber bullets and everything, and I saw in the article where they're trying to, what I love about this, apparently they're going to use a couple years testing to make sure it's, like, not harmful.
Right. And that's the whole thing.
You know, tested down in the border in Mexico. And
well, you know, again, you know, boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, if you really wanted to, have a lot of places, a lot of testing that wouldn't result in many lawsuits.
I was thinking in the Canyonlands, just like the old buffalo, they just, you know, herd everybody in the area and then zap them and they all fall off. No, you lost me.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. They did that with the mammoths too.
Yeah.
No, the deal is though, I thought that this was they talked in how it was not easily avoidable, even if there's like I love the part where it says, even if you cover yourself with tinfoil, you know, you get basted
right.
or something. I mean it turns out that it's apparently fairly effective. But again, remember, this is a tool. Mm-hmm. This is, you can call it a non-lethal weapon all you want, but what's it for? Control.
Yeah.
Control, control, control. And who are they going to control? Yeah, okay, out of control crowds? Yeah, you and me, pal.
Well, and here's the other backwards-ass thing I think you were just talking about, is that they said the development of bombs, they can be, you know, rushed into service in a matter of weeks. But this process can take years before it hits into the thing because of all the testing.
Yeah, but I love this. You know, it's funny.
It's not going to hurt anybody, but we can put a new bomb out in the field in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, that'll kill people.
That's right.
Lots of people. But this, we got to wait.
Yeah.
You know, $40 million testing right now.
Ooh.
10 years.
Well, I want them to. I don't want to be blasted.
Well, no. What are you going to want to say that we can't have one of these?
Yeah,
you
know, bear arms. Right? That's non-lethal.
It's non-lethal.
Again, it's like...
I want one on my car that I push a button, and the entire backside of my car makes anybody behind me have a goodbye effect. It could come in handy.
That's swerve it off the road.
Oh, right. Speaking of non-lethal, I did get reloaded my... This is a slight diversion. I reloaded my...
We're in light notes.
Yeah, that's right. Paintball gun.
Oh, yeah?
I reloaded the CO2 thing, and it turns out that when that cartridge... that canister, it's like 20 pounds or something, they are 10 pounds, whatever it is. When it's full, the range is
dramatic,
really dramatic.
You hit your neighbor in the backyard.
Easily. I mean, wow. Seriously.
Yeah, those things sting, man. You ever been shot with those?
And I wasn't actually planning on doing it either. I was out there today and I was surprised. This thing goes
little bruises on you.
It goes, it's got 100 yards now. It'll go 100 yards.
And
it's
10 yards away? Guess what?
No, 10 yards. When I hit a tree or something like that, splat. I had a guy drive by here, and he says, shooting your squirrels. And I thought, you know, even if I hit a squirrel at, like, under 20 yards, the thing of worry is it wouldn't actually kill it.
Right.
But I'd have to, like, go out and kill it.
Right. Well, then you'd have PETA on you or whatever.
But that's not that. I just, you know, it's one thing to scare.
You killed a rare pink squirrel.
It's one thing to scare. It's one thing to scare them away, but I don't like to wound them. Killing them is one thing, but wounding them, yeah, I am not much.
I understand. Okay. But as Kurt just said, it looks as though you just killed an extremely rare pink and blue squirrel.
That's right. Spotted.
Spotted
pink and blue. Oh, my God.
Yeah, new species.
You're going to jail. That's right. On a wetland.
All right. How about some happy news?
Well, here's a happy one. Happy. Underwater Express, a new submarine, boasts speeds to 127 mile an hour.
Whoa. Bullshit.
Yeah, jeez. By supercavitation, which is what they do is they push out air through. Like,
I was just going to say, they have to do it.
Well, but the Russians have been doing this with torpedoes for a long time.
Really?
They can get torpedoes up, you know, 100 miles an hour. And, of course, they're noisy as hell, and that's why they don't, you know, subs don't use this technology. But if you needed to... move out of the way. I mean, if you've already been spotted, detected. Yeah, right. What the heck?
Yeah, I was going to say, if especially if you've got any kind of tracking on them. I mean, if they're, you know, I mean, if 100 miles an hour, so what if it makes a lot? It just will give you a lot of warning you're going to die. Yeah.
But I mean, that's hot. I mean, again,
okay, you have 10 seconds to say your prayers.
And if we can get a luxury submarine that could literally do 127 miles underwater, think about it. You can't go 127 miles on top of the water.
It's true.
I mean, you know, this is a new form of fun transportation.
Remember, we take PayPal here at Jimmy
and
Dome.
Which reminds, which of course,
so if you'd like to make a donation,
and we could be in the
Jimmy Sub.
We could be in the import export business with the emphasis on import very quickly.
Bring it in and make some cash.
That's it.
Well, speaking of underwater creatures, I did find this little tidbit interesting. You know, the sea squirt can regrow its entire body from just one blood cell, blood vessel.
Whoa.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, pretty cool. You know, this is part of the age of spiritual
machines. What's a sea squirt?
Well, it's actually our closest living invertebrate relative.
Oh,
what?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's like.
Wait a minute. My closest living invertebrate relative is down here in my pants. I don't know. It looks like a sea squirt.
And, in fact, does squirt.
That's it.
Ooh, downhill from here.
That's
folks.
It. All
right.
I just had another one here. Remember that girl I talked about who had the hiccups?
I saw that. So what?
Well, it finally stopped.
All right.
I know, but okay. Okay.
Well, I thought it was kind of cool.
Okay, BFD.
Light. Yeah, exactly.
Don't you remember, I had a good recommendation for her. So maybe she took that. I don't know.
Maybe it was. How about this? The muffin mix mailer gets community service. This woman who...
Mrs. Muffin?
36. She created a false public alarm, a felony, over a note which she said she hoped police got the flu. Because she got a $15 ticket for a parking ticket, parking fine, and was sentenced to. But I think she when she was writing out the check, she got some muffin mix because she was, you know, baking on her counter, and they thought it was anthrax or something like that. So, and then she wrote on the note, you know, I hope you get the flu or something. So then they immediately, you know, they
called in the SWAT team.
The SWAT team, yeah.
The Enviro, the guys in the yellow suits all from head to toe.
To Gitmo.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, she's 100 hours community service, $1,000 fine, and a tour of the local jail.
$1,000 fine.
God, can you imagine? Yep. I mean, that is stunning.
Mm-hmm.
That is stunning.
$1,000 fine. It's not about the money, though.
No, certainly not.
April Bedell from ever doing a parking in getting
a
another
menace
parking
to the society.
Menace to society.
I'm sure she had
in
priors.
Dover, New Hampshire. Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Dover. That's
a free state.
Urban sprawl. Right?
Live free or die.
Live free or die.
She decided. She chose die.
She chose death. This is the only last thing I got. Is man chainsaws house in two for divorce.
I saw that.
Berlin, a 43-year-old German decided to settle his imminent divorce by chainsawing a family home into it, making off with his half on a
forklift. I want half, Eddie. Eddie.
This is like, I want half.
This is War of the Roses.
All right, good one.
I'll give you half,
Eddie.
There you go. Here's your half. My half has the bathroom in it.
Well, you know, the thing about it, what you do is, I guess what I would have done was to take half, like the bottom half.
Right.
Or the top half.
That's right. You know, just take, I'm taking my half off the top. It's like, you know, the ice take, when that's when somebody says, do you want half the cake? I say, sure. And I cut it, you know, laterally. I get all the icing anyway.
That was a good way to end the show, Eric. Good job.
Good job.
It's a great show.
That's it.
It's good to be back.
March
12th, or whatever date it is.
Whatever day you're listening to this.
March 23rd now.
Hopefully not April.
It was good to be here.
That's it. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
Engineer Eric.
Thank you very much. I'll have to edit out all that DJ Laura blabber in this.
Yeah, oh, God.
Shut her ass up.
Well, I'll tell you, talk about somebody.
Midnight now.
You set that studio clock ahead? I guess you did, huh?
Yeah.
Daylight savings time.
Hey, yep. Daylight savings
time. Yeah, they were all worried about the Y2K thing. Nothing happened. All my computers did just fine.
They were all built after Y2K.
Now, mine at work didn't work. Mine at work were screwed up.
Really?
Mine didn't either. Hey,
and if our listeners, if you haven't changed your clock yet, go ahead and do that now.
Yeah, you can go ahead and do that.
Warning. Update right from Jimmy Doan.
That's right.
Make sure you're not late for work tomorrow.
That's right. Come back soon.
Yeah, again. Right.
Look,
if you've been late for work for the last week or two, let me tell you.
Let me tell that, my fellow employees.
Start blaming on Jimmy.
That's it.
It's Jimmy's fault.
695 Jimmy, right?
Yeah, that's right. We haven't checked that off.
Phone's ringing off the hook.
Oh, yeah.
Keep those emails coming.
All right.
Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to part 2 of the March 12th, 2007 Jimmy Doan podcast. Support the Jimmy Doan Show by making a donation.